Hello, world. This is Wichita. Eagle proudly presents another chapter from the vivid history of this city. Since 1872, the Wichita Eagle has written the story of our triumphant progress. And now, through the magic of radio, these pages from the past come to life. We invite you to listen to the thrilling drama of This Is Wichita. First Federal Quartet opens our program with a prelude of melody entitled All Through the Night. In 108,997 homes throughout the Southwest, the Wichita Eagle has been read today. News, features, serials, many pages of gaily colored comics, all have contributed to the pleasure and education of these Eagle subscribers. During the weekdays from Monday to Saturday, the Eagle brings you both the morning and evening paper, thus covering every phase of the 24 hours of the world events. The news that occurs in the evening comes to you the first thing in the morning. The news of the day comes to you in the evening. And this service costs you only 20 cents per week. And remember this. The Morning Eagle is the only newspaper published in Wichita that can give you the latest possible stock reports and sport news at the earliest possible time. Listen now to the Eagle Concert Orchestra under the baton of Russell Lowe, bringing you Country Garden by Percy Grainger. Thank you. the curtain rises on another drama inspired by the stories in the back files of the Wichita Eagle. On January 7th, 1886, the thermometer went to the 35 degrees below zero mark. Today, thanks to accurate and scientific weather bureaus, the radio, the quick distribution of newspapers, if such a blizzard were to strike Wichita in the Southwest, nearly everyone would be prepared for it. But in 1886, it was a different story. Small farmhouse sets down on treeless land. It is late afternoon, January 6th, 1886. Wichita is only 6 miles away. But to the occupants of this little farmhouse, it seems much farther. A woman stands beside a frosted window, listening to the monotonous song of the prairie wind.
And so this is Kansas.
Uh-huh. Kind of pretty, though, don't you think?
Pretty?
Yeah, sort of pretty. That is, in a different way.
Pretty. Not a tree in sight. Not another house in sight. Snow on the ground. Snow in the sky. The wind howling like a hungry wolf outside. And yet you... Oh, Jim, how can you say it's pretty?
Why, Stella.
Well, look at it. Just look out there. What do you see?
Our land, our farm.
But what is it? What can it ever be?
Why, anything we want to make it. We're going to have trees someday, Stella. And this spring, you'll have flowers, plenty of them.
But will I have friends, neighbors? Will I have anything more than this... Oh, well, let's not talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stella. It's just this gloomy old day. Not much cheer in it. But we can't let it get us, Stella. We've got wheat laying out there under that snow. We've got cattle out there. Look at me. See them over there? They're going to buy you the swellest piano in Wichita this spring. Yes, sir, we're going to have a piano so you can play like you used to back in Cincinnati. You remember?
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just a little...
Sure. I know.
No, you don't, Jim. You... Oh, I don't know how to explain it to you, but you worry me.
I do?
Yes, you. You've changed. We've had this farm almost a year and a half now, and Well, it's done things to us.
Why, Stella, what...
Yes, it has, Jim. It's taken away something from our marriage. Oh, I expected to have to work when I married you and came out here. I knew Kansas wasn't any bed of roses, but... Well, it's even worse than I thought it was.
Oh, Stella, don't say that.
Jim, I must say it. I've been thinking about it all day. Thinking about how you've changed. How you think more of that land and that cattle out there than you do of me.
Stella.
It's true, Jim. Why, you've been worried more about losing some of your cattle than you have of your wife or your child that's coming.
Oh, Stella, what makes you say that?
But Jim, I'm afraid. I'm scared silly, that's what I am.
Scared?
Yes, scared. But you couldn't understand that. Dr. Fabrique said it would be sometime around this month. Remember when we saw him 4 weeks ago in Wichita? He said it would be sometime around this month. And here we are out here, just you and me, all alone, and that snow falling. And maybe... Oh, Jim, I'm scared, scared.
Stella, oh, Stella.
I see what you mean, Jim. Sometimes I get to thinking about it and wondering what... Oh, Jim, I'm not afraid so much for myself, but... But to lose someone as important as all that, I just...
There's someone knocking at our door. I wonder who could be here.
Oh.
Why, it's Mrs. Scruggs. Hurry up, let her in, Jim.
Well, yeah, sure.
Go on, just hurry.
A minute, Mrs. Scruggs. This bolt's frozen here.
Go on, then.
There it is. Come on in.
You've got teeth.
I bet it has. It's cold.
It's been gnawing at me like a hungry hound.
Mrs. Scruggs, what are you doing here?
Now you should be asking me that.
Well,
Jim, you'd better take care of my horse. Give him some feed, poor darling. He's as cold as I am. Phew, let me over to that fire.
Here, I'd better toss a little more wood on it. I still don't know why you drove from your house over here in this kind of weather, but we're sure glad to see you.
Now I'll bet you are. You'll be gladder when you find that mince pie and them two roast chickens in the wagon. Well, go on with you now. I'm going to hoist my dress up in the rear and back right into this pile. Shoo!
All right. Sure glad you came.
Well, I'm so glad to see you, Mrs. Scott. I had no idea anyone would be visiting at this time.
Oh, now, my dear girl, don't stand there acting as if you thought I was out of me mind for driving through this cold. You know good and well why I came.
No, honestly, I
don't. Oh, fiddlestick. Didn't you tell me the Dr. Fabric said there was to be a new farmhand arrive sometime around this date?
Well, yes, but I...
Well, I did you think I was going to let you go through anything like that without a little assistance?
Oh, Mrs. Scruggs,
Now, don't go weeping any tears. They'll freeze icicles right on your nose. You've been crying anyway, haven't you?
Yes, I was so lonely and afraid.
You poor innocent babe. Of course you were. And that's why I came. I told my husband I was coming over here before this weather got a bit worse. And I was taking no chances. Last year, poor Mr. Dregg, that has the place over above the creek, he froze his feet coming after me in a storm just such as this. He rode a horse and couldn't trust a wagon. And I froze 1 foot myself trying to get back to his house. Just made it in time, too.
I should say, that wind's really whooping it up now. Getting colder every minute.
Yeah, I know it. There's a blizzard coming and coming fast. I knew it yesterday. Why, my corns just literally popped my shoe right off.
I put your horse in the barn, but I'm getting kind of worried about all my stock. If it gets any colder than this.
Yes, it's serious. You folks ain't got much of a windbreak. My old man started rounding his cattle up by our south hedge, and he's got them all around near the house. You got to watch that, Sonny. One of these blizzards can sure kill off a lot of cattle.
Yeah, I know. Gee, I'm sure worried. They're kind of straying around, and it's getting dark, too. I'm going to go on out again.
Oh, yes, hurry. You don't want to lose any of your precious cattle.
That's right.
My, listen to that wind. If ever I was smart, it was when I drove over here when I did.
Mrs. Scruggs.
Yes, dearie.
What would happen if Jim couldn't get into town to get Dr. Fabric?
Well, and now what do you think would happen?
But suppose he couldn't. Suppose the storm got worse. Oh, Mrs. Scruggs,
Say, now, look here. That's no way for you to be thinking.
But I can't help it. Oh, surely you ought to understand. You're a woman. Can't you understand that I'm going to need care, help? Can't you... Oh, can't anyone in this godforsaken country understand what it is to have a baby?
Well, I'll declare. And now will you listen to that? And did you think that I came over here through a raging snowstorm and left a good husband, a house full of kids, and a hen house full of chickens and a half-finished quilt just to come visiting with you? Lord knows I love to visit. But I wouldn't be out on a night like this if I hadn't come for something more important.
You mean you came to...
Yes, I mean I've come to stay until it's over. I brought along a nice gown, some clean rags, and some towels and baby clothes for either male or female.
But you're not a doctor, Mrs. Scruggs.
And now what has that got to do with it? Dr. Fabrique's a good man, but he's in Wichita, and that's a good 6 miles there and a good 6 miles back. And in the best of weather, that's quite a little dry.
But he's got to get here. He'll have to get here. A woman should have a doctor. I don't want to lose my baby. I don't want to...
There now. And who told you you were going to lose your baby? And that's a fine insult to me, what's assisted the stork in this territory since 1870.
But a doctor should be with one. It's safer. Well,
I think I know a little girl without much backbone. Come here, dear, and let me tell you something. My first child was born on our place about on a night like this. And my husband didn't even have time to go for a doctor. But the fact is, he wasn't even sure he could get back. And I was... Oh, it was terrible. Oh, we were awful young and awful scared and puzzled. But I said, the good Lord made women before he made doctors. And I said, Lord, it's your will. I want my child more than anything else in the world. And I said, please help me to bring him into the world.
You mean you were there all alone?
Practically. My husband was there standing in the corner, shaking like a dying duck in a thunderstorm, and saying, oh, honey, oh, dear, oh, sweetheart, oh, darling, until I said, oh, shut up.
But what did you do?
Now, what do you think I did? Somehow, some way, I became the mother of a fine, dear baby boy. And now he's the biggest, broadest-shouldered, strapping 16-year-old man that ever cut a fur.
So, you see?
No, I don't see. I don't see anything but the horrible thought of being here helpless, of dying and losing my child. That's all I can see. And for what? For this barren, desolate farmland. For bawling calves and clucking chickens and squealing pigs. Oh, I can't stand it. I won't. I'm going to make Jim take me into the city where I know I'll be safe. I won't risk it here. I'm going to pull him out.
I'll come back to you.
No, Jim. Oh, Jim, please.
No,
Jim. No,
Jim. No, you little
fool. No, I won't.
Oh, now you'll be catching your death of pneumonia with a few more acts like that.
But why does he have to leave me? Why does he have to go out there more concerned about his stock than he is about me?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because that stock's precious. Hard to get and hard to keep. The food and the money and clothes for you and for him and for his children. Oh, what a weak, simpering, spineless little fluff you are. And it's the back of me hand I could be giving you with pleasure.
You can't talk to me that way. I won't have it.
And now can't I? Listen, dear girl. This is a hard life you've fallen heir to. But you're not alone. In almost every farmhouse over this prairie, there are women that have faced what you have.
Yes, and they've died. And so have their children. What about Mrs. Long, who just this fall lost her little baby and then died a few days later herself? Died because she couldn't get care in time.
Well, and what about her? What about the ones who pulled through? Oh, they didn't have it easy. Of course they didn't. But they had courage. They had to have it. And so have you. Oh, listen to me, child. Get some spunk in you. I came over here to help. And I'll be here. I'll stay until it's all over. There's nothing to worry about. Lord's sake, your time hasn't arrived yet. Now, be calm and sensible.
Oh, Mrs. Strug, I don't want to seem ungrateful to you, but it's just that
Yes, I know, child. I know how you feel. But don't say to yourself. When you live like we do out here, you save your baby and for everybody but yourself. And it pays out. You're young yet. And you're starting. And it takes a heap of work to get the farm going. But there's one thing I've learned in the years I've put in out here. I've learned that sooner or later you get good pay for the work you put in on the line. Look at our place. Trees are growing there. Trees I planted myself. And every year things look better and better. And say, when my man comes in after working a hard day, I can greet him on equal footing, because I worked a hard day too. It's not his farm, his cows and chickens and grain. It's mine too. He's got blisters on his hands. I got them too. The same wind that tans his hide tans mine. But we've got something that's ours. Something that's part of our life. Or maybe I'm talking up my sleeve to you. I've seen women like you seem right now. Women with nothing to them. And if you're really that way, you'd better get out of here. Get out of this state. Go somewhere that's easy. Because you're not good enough for Kansas.
That wind's getting worse. This is going to be a real blizzard.
Horns, that it is now. And how are you coming with that stock?
Gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been fighting to drive them toward the barn, but they just lay down. They're getting too weak. Oh, if I only had some help.
How many head of cattle have you got?
About 100. Gosh, if I lose them, I don't know what I'll do.
Oh, you need some help. Chuck some wood in that fire, and I'll bundle up good and get out there with you.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, do as I tell you. Go on with the wood. And now turn your eyes. I'm going to be putting on an extra pair of heavy drawers real fast-like.
Yeah, sure. Stella, how are you feeling, darling?
Why, I'm all right, Jim. Now, don't worry about me.
You know, I thought I heard you call me a little while ago. You didn't, did you?
No, of course not.
Stella, you really do feel all right. I mean, if you thought I should try to get in town for the dock, why, I'd better
no,
go.
No, I'm all right. You better save the stock, Jim.
But I'd let him go if I thought you really...
Go on, Jim. You mustn't lose any time. I'll make some coffee for you and Mrs. Scruggs. I'll call you when I get it ready.
Come on, Jim. We haven't any time to lose. Stubborn critter.
Come on.
Want to freeze to death? Jim, come on. Give me a lift on this critter's back end. Get its back legs up. And maybe it'll get its trunk bones up and move a little.
Come on.
Give me a
help. Come on. Hey, wait a minute. Listen. Isn't that Stella?
Yes, I think it is. I'll have to leave you, Jim. You keep working. I'll see what she wants.
Yeah, but maybe she's having trouble.
Oh, nonsense. She said she'd call when she got some coffee ready. Keep working, lad. You can't lose this stock.
All right. So.
Mrs. Scott.
Yes, child, I heard you.
I didn't call for Jim.
And now that you didn't. I told him you were just calling that coffee was ready.
Mrs. Scott, I'm not really a coward. I can work Kansas. I can help Jim. I can...
You can't come in now. Oh, shut up. I got my hands full without bothering with you.
Mrs. Grudge, I want to come in. I'm freezing.
Oh, I can't help it. Go in the barn with the cows. This is no place for a man. There now. I guess I can let your father in. All right, come in now.
Mrs. Scruggs, what happened?
And now what do you think happened? Look.
Gosh. What?
And now what do you think it is?
Oh, gosh. Stella, is she all right?
Yes, Jim. Of course I am.
Oh, Stella. Why didn't you tell me?
Did you save the stock, Jim?
Yes, I think so. But, oh, Stella, I'd have never done that if you'd have told me.
That's why I didn't tell you. We're going to need that stock. This little fellow's gonna call for a lot.
Oh, Stella.
Well, Mrs. Groton? Do you think I'm good enough?
And now what do you think?
And so our curtain falls on a little scene in the year 1886, when the Wichita Eagle wrote of a blizzard that raged for more than 30 hours, with the thermometer holding at 18 to 35 degrees below zero. Every Sunday evening at the same time, the Wichita Eagle opens its rich storehouse of early day stories. All characters in this drama were fictitious, but the background and setting is historically accurate. The Wichita Eagle invites you to listen again next Sunday to another dramatic episode of the story, This is Wichita. This is Wichita.